Okay, first of all the learning tonight should be Le'ilei Nishmas, Moshe Aaron, Yoshua, Ben Eliezer, Zussman, a close student of mine, Yudit Hershkowitz. It's her father's yahrzeit on Tu B'Av. And all the learning should be Le'ilei Nishmas, so Mitz Hashem, we should be Zochet, Ches Amesim, Bekar of Mamish, but until that time, he should be a male at Yosha for his beautiful Mishpacha. Before we get back into the Mitzvah Shasharim, I want to start just with an idea, being that we just mentioned Tu B'Av. It's actually an idea I shared with Yudit earlier today. This upcoming Friday, Thursday night already, tomorrow night, is Tu B'Av. And the Gemara discusses how Tu B'Av is of the most joyous, most special of Yomim Tovim. Lo haya Yom Tovim l'Yisrael. There were no other Yom Tovim to Bnei Yisrael. Ki Yom HaKippurim Chamisha Asar B'Av. Like Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. It's a Gemara in Tainus. I'm sure some of you have heard this before. That it seems to be from the Gemara. The greatest Yom Tovim are Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. So Yom Kippur, the Gemara goes through and says, Yom Kippur, that makes sense, right? Yom Kippur is the holiest of days. Yom Kippur is when we have Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, fresh start, a new beginning, Tahara. Maybe it's a little difficult to fast in all of the halachos, but ultimately we all understand how special Yom Kippur it is. And we understand how uplifting and how much Simcha Yom Kippur can bring us, right? But Tu B'Av? I'd venture to say there are many Jews in the world that Tu B'Av, it passes by, they don't even know it was Tu B'Av. They don't even know. Do we have any special halachos on Tu B'Av? And are we going to have anything? I mean, if you're davening, you don't say tachnun. Outside of that, what else is there? And the Gemara has various occurrences of Tu B'Av, special ideas. And I'm sure you all know that it's a day to focus on shiduchim. And when the women went out and tried to find the shidduch, basically, which is obviously a big yontiv and very special. And there's definitely different ways to explain Tu B'Av. But I want to share an understanding in a very deep Al Pi Chassidus. The Bnei Yisachar brings it down. If I'm not mistaken, it was from the Oyev Yisrael, the Apter of one of the. It's wonderful. It's been amazing being here with you this summer. But one of the Chesronos is I don't have so many of my Svarim. Tried to bring whatever I could. My wife wouldn't let me take the whole car full of Svarim, so she said we have to bring clothing. So I brought whatever I could bring. But I don't have all my Svarim here, so I couldn't look it up. But I'm pretty sure he quotes it from the Oyev Yisrael. And listen to this, very deep, very beautiful idea. You know what the greatness of Tu B'Av is? Tu B'Av is not referring necessarily to the day, the 15th day of Av. Tu, Tes Vav is 15, right? Bit of is Bit Aleph Beis. Beis Aleph Beis. 15 Bit Aleph Beis, in the Aleph Beis. Meaning what? The 15th letter in the Aleph Beis. That's what the Gemara is saying is very chash and very important. It's amazing. The 15th letter in the Aleph Beis. What's the 15th letter in the Aleph Beis? I see a few of you thinking it through. Very good. Awesome. Right? Samach. The 15th letter in the Aleph Beis. Not repeating Beis Veis, right? If we just go straight Aleph Beis Gimel like that. The 15th letter in the Aleph Beis is Samach. So what's so special about Samach? Why is Samach this amazing letter that we're supposed to say so brings us such simcha? So what is a samach? A samach is a circle. A samach is a circle. And you know, we just went through Bein HaMetzarim. We went through the 3 weeks. We went through a time in our year where we're sad, and we're in Avelus, we're mourning, and down that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have Geula, and there are those that we know that are suffering in different ways, and there are tragedies throughout our history until today. And then you could say, what's changed? We're going to have Shabbos Nachamu. Nothing's really changed. We still don't have a Beis HaMikdash. There's still a mosque sitting on top of Har HaBayis. So on Tu B'Av, right after Tisha B'Av, we're reminded of the 15th letter of the Aleph Beis, which is a circle. And we know a circle represents the Samach. A little bit about what goes around comes around. Right? When you have Lo Aleinu, someone we shouldn't know from everyone, sitting as an Avel, sitting in Avelus, there's a minog to have circular items, chickpeas, or lentils, we know that's famous, right? By Yitzchak Avinu, after Avram passed away, that was the lentil soup, we know, that Yaakov was making for Yitzchak Avinu. Because that's a reminder to the Avel that even though right now you feel like you're at the bottom, you feel like things are terrible, just like a circle, it's going to come up again. Things are going to be okay. And that's the chizik that we need, to know everything's going to be okay. It might not feel that way right now, but it's going to be okay. And by the way, it's also alluding, and if I'm not mistaken, Ben Yisrael says this as well. There's a Gemara that says, Lasulavo, in the future when Mashiach comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make machal l'tzadikim, a circle for the tzadikim. All the tzadikim will be in one big circle, and he's going to be in the middle. And therefore that samach represents that circle as well. In other words, it's that hope and that yearning and the knowledge that there's going to be Mashiach. There's going to be Gula. And we have to remember that on Tu B'Av. On Tu B'Av we're reminded that even though things might not be perfect yet, it's going to be okay and it's going to be good. And that itself is a big brach and a big nechama to each and every one of us. And we should have this in mind. We're coming upon Tu B'Av tomorrow night and Friday, our Shabbos Kodesh. And should be a chizik to each and every one of us. A chizik to Yudin and Mishpacha on the yard side of her father. And Amir Tashem, we should all have the ultimate nechama with B'Yis Mashiach, Bekar of Mamish. Okay, we've been learning Mesilas Yesharim, this incredible sefer of the Ramchal. And there are a lot of new girls here tonight, so I just want to give a 2-minute hakdama to what we've been learning so that you could follow. And I definitely suggest those who would like to really get caught up in what we've been learning, the first 4 shiurim are online on YU Torah. If you want to listen to them, if you have time at some point during the day, during the week, you can go online and listen. But really what we've been delving into, what we've been trying to understand in this first parak of Mesil Sharam is Chayvas Adam Belamo. Man's purpose in this world. What are we doing here? Why are we here? And there's no more important question to answer and to have an answer to. Because if we understand that question, every moment of life could be meaningful and special as we could filter all of our life through that understanding. And if we don't have an answer to that question, if I don't know what my purpose is and why I'm here, then sadly, much of life could be meaningless and cause us a lacking of happiness in life because we're not going to feel fulfilled. So it's so important that we understand. And ultimately what we came to through a lot of learning together, and this is really what you just have to have in mind as we go forth. And please, again, if you want to listen to the Shurim work, just come talk to me about it if you want a deeper understanding, those who weren't with us the first few weeks. And that is that the purpose of life is really to get close to Hashem. To build a relationship with Hashem, to be as close as possible to Hashem, because that's how we'll be most besimcha, that's how all that He created us, which was to give to us, how we'll be able to be makabel, accepted most, the closer we are to Hashem. And we spoke already about many ways to then build that relationship with Hashem, because the next question would be, if my purpose is to get close to Hashem, how do I get close to Hashem? And ultimately, it's through Torah Mitzvos, and we've just explained why. That's enough of a hakdama to follow what we're up to. So on the sheets that they have in front of you, we're up to Vayis Zayin, it's towards the bottom, the Zayin on the side. And here the Ramchal continues. V'ine somo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Adam b'makom sh'rabim bo hamarchikim oso mimenu yisparach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed man in a place where there's much that causes us to be distanced from Hashem. There's much in this world that can cause us to stray away from the Ribbono Shel, to stray away from that close relationship, which is our purpose. Let's just read one more line. Veheim heim ataivos, and these are all the various taivos, the desires that we have when it comes to the physical world, hachomrios of materialistic desires. If we pull ourselves after them, hinehu misrachek, then we become distanced, v'holech min hatov amiti. And we go far away from that ultimate good that we're searching for. Again, if our own purpose of life is to get close to Hashem, and if we are close to Hashem, we're going to gain all the amazing pleasures that Hashem is constantly giving off, and we'll feel best and be happiest. Yet, strangely, and we have to discuss this because it's a little bit counterintuitive, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us all in a world that's full of temptations and full of taivas and full of marchikim, those things that distance us from Hashem. We live in a world that is composed of a society where what's the focus of the society that we live in, the secular world that we live in? Of the biggest is up there is money. Such tremendous emphasis on having a lot of money and wanting a lot of money, which is something so contrary to Torah value and being close to Hashem. There's such a focus on physical appearance and physical looks. Such a focus on just having physical pleasure. Just whether that's eating, whether that's just chilling, whether that's whatever it might be, just physical pleasure as an end, not as a means, as an end. And all of that causes us to stray away from the Rabbanu Shalom, that which is spiritual, and ultimately that which is meaningful. But what's strange about that all, if the whole purpose of the world, as we've defined and we've discussed, is to help us get, is really for us to get close to Hashem and to build a close relationship with Hashem, isn't it strange that He put us in a world that has so much to cause us to be far away from Hashem? Like, wouldn't that be completely contrary to the whole purpose of existence and purpose of this world? Shouldn't we all be in a world where the only focus is Torah and mitzvahs and nothing pulling us away? Why would we be in this world with so much taiva and so much that's marchik mafa? So I'd like to explain it b'derech mashal to understand. You know, I know you're young women, but we have. I assume most of you have enough of knowledge of sports, and you're here in Camp Dina. I see there's a lot of sports going on, so you know what's going on. And a couple weeks ago, I'll give you an example. A couple weeks ago, we had a night activity here. They might do it second. They were talking about doing it second half again. Definitely the senior staff would like to do it again, from what I understand. But there was a basketball game between the senior staff and the waitresses. Senior staff and the waitresses. And for those who weren't here, from what I understand, it was a very close game. Very, very close game. And the waitresses pulled it off by 2, if I'm not mistaken. Beat the senior staff, so pretty sure the senior staff would really very much like a rematch. What do you say, Riva? Yeah? You played in that game?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had this game, and the whole camp watched, and apparently it was exciting and it was fun, and obviously it was extremely competitive. It went down to the wire. Literally went down to the wire. And everyone was into it, and everyone had a great time, and it was a fun night. You know why everybody was into it and had a fun night? Because it was so competitive. And because the talent, obviously, between the waitresses and the senior staff is pretty even. It's pretty even. Now, if we have here a night activity where the senior staff were playing against, bunk bays in basketball, nobody would want to go to that game. Nobody would care to watch. It would be a joke. Because nobody's really interested and cares about basketball. Let's be real. If you break it down, does any of us really enjoy watching these like leather balls go through hoops? If you really stop and think about what it is, it's like, it's ridiculous. And I love playing basketball, don't get me wrong. I enjoy it very much. And when the men come up on the weekends and for Shabbos Kodesh, we play ball. I still play ball. I enjoy it. But what do we enjoy so much about it? What is so enjoyable about sports for those that enjoy sports? It's the competition within it. And those who are victorious, those who win, are only excited to win because there was competition. And because you feel the success, and it's a meaningful win because it was a competitive game. But if I'm playing a basketball game, and I'm playing against 6-year-olds who hardly could dribble a ball, and my team wins by 100, I'm not going to feel good about that. It's not going to be meaningful. It's going to be ridiculous. No one's going to enjoy that, and the players aren't going to enjoy it. And that's true for those of you, you know, whatever it might be, for those of you not into sports, I don't know, gymnastics, right? If you're in gymnastics, and you're, I guess that's a sport too, right? Whatever, you get where I'm going with it, right? Obviously, only if there's competition, and only if there's that which is a koach, a strength that you're trying to pull against, is the success valuable? So too in our world that we live in. You know, the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted to make sure. He wanted to make sure. He wanted us to have this deep, very, very special relationship with him. And ultimately then be able to just bask in all the amazing good that he's showering us with constantly. But that's only meaningful to us if it's earned by us. If we earn it because it's difficult. If it was so easy and there's no bechira involved, no choice and no free will and no effort that we need to place in because there's so much pushing us in another direction, then that success and that closeness and that relationship ultimately is meaningless and doesn't have the depth and doesn't carry with it how special it is if we put in that effort. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Shalom, the whole reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the marchikim, all the distances us with from Hashem and all the times, is so that we defeat it. There's a medrash in the beginning of Bereishis, and he saw that it was Tov Ma'od. Right? We know that the world was Tov Ma'od. So the medrash says, Tov Zuz Yetzer Tov. That's our good inclination. That's Tov. That's good. It's good that we have a Yetzer Tov that's helping us along. He's telling us a little bit to do what's right, and to daven, and to dress pitznias, and to have proper midos. And you know what the medrash says? Ma'od, you know it's very good? Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is very good. The Yetzer Hara is very good? It's crazy. The Yetzirah is pulling us away from Hashem. No, because the Yetzirah gives us the ability to defeat the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah gives us the ability to fight against it and feel amazing in that relationship that we build with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's our purpose. And that's our goal. Let's continue on. V'nimsa, we are found. We're in the Ois Ches. We find ourselves Shumusam B'emes B'toch HaMelchama HaChazaka. We all are living a constant strong battle between the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, between what we know we should be doing and what we could be doing. And that's a battle. And we've all felt that battle in our lives. When we feel a tayva to do something we know we shouldn't be doing, but I want to do it and I'm not sure what's going to win out. The momentary pleasure or eternal bliss of Simchas HaChayim. Sometimes that's hard. But that's the battle that we always have. Ki kol inyanei olam, everything in this world, bein letov, bein lemutov, whether it appears to be something very good, or whether it appears, and I stress, appears to be something not good, hineheim nisyoinais l'adam, everything in his life is a test. Everything in life is a test. All of life is a test. Ha'oni mitzad echad, va'osher mitzad echad. Whether someone lo aleinu is impoverished and poor, or whether someone's very wealthy, it's all a test. It's all a test. Meaning what? You think, what do you mean? We think a test sounds like something very bad, and something very difficult. So if I'm poor, it's a test. Am I still going to... That makes sense. That's simple. If I'm poor, it's a test. Am I going to still have a moon of Hashem? Am I going to still be b'simcha? Am I going to still have bitachon? Am I going to be able to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem? Whatever it might be, that's a test. Be wealthy? What kind of test is it to be wealthy? That's what we all yearn for. We all see those families that are going away every single yontiv and have houses in four different countries. And that's a test? It's a test? It's not a test to have four different Montclair coats and... you know, be able to, I don't know, whatever does it for you. You got where I'm going, right? That's a test? That's awesome! That's awesome! That's great! You made it! You're good to go! If only I had all that, then of course I'm going to serve Hashem well and daven well and have no daigas and no worries, right? That's what we always think. So that's not a test. That's the golden dream. No, that's a test, just as much. It's a big test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives someone a lot of money. What do you do with that money? Do you use it properly? How much tzedakah do you give? How many Torah institutions do you support? Yeah, of course it's okay for all of us to live a comfortable life and have some nice things and be able to be comfortable. But to what degree? How many luxuries? Am I in my clothing and in my cars and in my jewelry and am I doing it to so that I have a healthy self-esteem and to look nice and as a Bas Torah should be, which is very healthy and beautiful? Or am I just trying to show off to the world already? Is it all gaiva? It's a big nisayon when you have a lot of money. You don't have money, I got no choice. I have no choice. What I'm wearing and what having a lot of money is a tremendous nisayon. It's a tremendous test. You really, you know, some of us like to play the lottery once in a while. You play the lottery and you have a dollar and a dream. Wow, I have $100 million. I have $200 million. It'd be crazy. It'd be incredible. So certain parts of it for sure would be incredible. Halavai, I dream of having an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in Rakai, that I should be able to call my home. That would be awesome if I won the lottery and was able to buy that, for sure, and be able to spend Shabbos whenever I want in Yerushalayim, in Rakai, in such a way. But if you stop and think about it for a minute, you know what type of a chrayas, you know what type of responsibility that $100 million is? You know what type of responsibility that is? You know how you're going to be judged by Hashem using that properly? And how to live such a life with that type of money? It's scary to be wealthy. It's a scary nisayon. Some people are passing it beautifully and wonderfully and using their money for good and living humble, beautiful lives. And some are failing miserably. Just as much so as those who don't have the money. All of life is a test. And how do we use whatever Hashem has given us to get close to Hashem? Ke'inyan sh'amar Shlomo HaMelech. Still in Ois Ches. Shlomo HaMelech says, Pen ezba v'chichashti. Perhaps I'll be satiated, I'll be wealthy, and then also the other test is, I'll deny Hashem. I'm not going to, koichi v'azam yadi. Look, I started this business, look how much money, I'm the man. I don't need God. If I don't have money, and I don't have whatever, I have a chisar and a lacking, I have to constantly be davening and talking to Hashem and asking of Hashem. If I have everything, I'm all good. I did it myself. I don't need you, Hashem. Oh, where did it all come from? I don't need you, Hashem. So Shlomo HaMelech was afraid. He says in Mishlei, Pen Eshba V'chichashti, I'm afraid. Maybe I'll be satiated. V'chichashti, I'll deny God. That's one nisayon. V'amarti mi Hashem. I'm going to say, who is God? Or pen ivaresh, the other possibility, maybe I'll be impoverished. Viganafti, or cause me to steal, cause me to do isurim. Hashalva mitzad echad, v'esurim mitzad echad. Tranquility on one side and difficulty on the other side. Everything is just a test to see how we deal with it. How do we manage? How do we get close to Hashem? All of life is one big test. And if you're really, really, really understanding purpose of life, it's not about having a lot of money or a little bit of money. It's about being close to Hashem, and we could do it in any situation we're in. And I'll be happy in every situation, maybe, because I understand that's my purpose of life. I could be happy every minute. You know what we all want? Why does anyone want money? Why does anyone want jewelry? Why does anyone want cars or whatever else? We only want it because we're searching for happiness. If we realize true happiness is in my relationship with Hashem, because that's how I fulfill my purpose of life, it doesn't matter what my situation is, I'm happy every day of my life. And that's where we find the happiest people. The people who get it. The people who understand the purpose of life is to be close to Hashem. And that every moment of life is just a test to see how I'm going to get close to Hashem based on that situation and that circumstance. Continues, Ramchal says, "Ad shenim says hamalcham elav panim v'achar." We find that we're constantly at war, in front, in the back. That war is that challenge to step up and be successful in being close to Hashem in whatever the situation that we are in, whatever situation HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings my way. V'im yiel ben chayel, if I'm going to be a ben chayel, I'll be a soldier. V'natach ha-melcham and b'kol tzadim, and I'm going to be successful and victorious in this war from all sides. Hu ya'odim ha-shalem, you'll be this complete person. Asher yizkeh l'davik b'boro, that you'll be zocha, you'll merit to cling to your Creator and fulfill your ultimate purpose, which is to be close to Hashem. That's what it's all about in everything that we do. V'yetze, and then you'll go out, min ha'pruzdor hazeh, from this corridor. We mentioned a couple shiurim ago, the Mishnah of us, right? Olam hazeh domar l'pruzdor b'fnei olam haba. This world is only a corridor, it's only a hallway before the next world, the palace. And if we live up to who we're supposed to be and fulfill that purpose of being close to Hashem, I'll leave the hallway, v'kaneis betrachlin. I'll enter into the palace, le'or b'orachayim, to have a life of light every single moment. And again, as we've mentioned before, it doesn't have to be in Olam Haba. It could be even now, chayel mava, right now. When I live my life in such a way where my whole essence is to be close to Hashem and fulfill that purpose, whatever situation I'm in, I'm besimcha every moment, I'm living a life of light. Every moment of life. It's awesome. That's what we all want. Let's start living it. Let's just finish up. Two more lines. Kvi hashir asher kavas es yotzro. According to the level that we capture Yetzirah, where we roll over the Yetzirah, not the Yetzirah over us. But it's an interesting lashon. Kovesh es yotzro. To capture the Yetzirah. Where's this from? Where do we find that line? Kovesh es yotzro. The Mishnah in Avos that says what? Excellent. Right? Excellent. Ezehu Gibor HaKoyvesh Es Yitzro. Ezehu Gibor. Who could translate for me that? Ezehu Gibor. Anyone else want to try? Ezehu Gibor. What does that mean? What? Say? Say. So you say Ezehu Gibor. Just those words. Who is strong, right? That's how all of anyone disagree with that? What? Oh, so actually, you know where I'm going with this already, but yeah, let's hear. Right, most of us would all say, loosely translated, and probably you opened up any art scroll or English Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Gibor, who is someone who's strong, someone who captures a Kovesh Yitzro, captures the Yitzhara, which tells us our strength is not physical strength, but spiritual strength, to defeat the Yitzhara, which is so strong and be close to Hashem always, right? But the word Ezehu does not mean who is. The word, what would be who is? Mihu Gibor. Ken, so correct. Someone who captures Yitzhara is someone strong. But the Sha'ila should be Mihu Gibor, lo Ezehu Gibor. Ezehu, Be'anglitze, which one?
Yeah.
Ken? Right? Ezehu means I'm comparing two things, right? You're comparing two things. Ezehu Gibor, who's stronger? So the answer is Kovesh Es Yitzro. Some would say, meaning, what is stronger? Physical strength or spiritual strength? Maybe that's what the Mishnah means. But I think differently. Listen as follows. This is what the Mishnah is saying. I saw this once, I believe in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, if I'm not mistaken. Imagine as follows. Imagine you had a town. You had a town and there was known to be a thief. Known to be a ganav. You understand Old English? Okay. You understand? So there was a ganav, there was a thief in the town. There's a thief in the town. And this store owner knew that the thief late at night was going into different stores and stealing from the stores. So this store owner decided he's going to camp out in his store to make sure that this thief can't steal from him. And kachave, that particular night, the thief came to his house. Now there's two approaches he could take. The thief could walk in and he could jump and scream and yell and scare the thief away. And he won't steal anything from his store. That's one level, right? To push him away that way. But what's the problem with that? That will get him away for that night. But he could come back tomorrow and come back the next time, right? Or go to some other store, he's still out loose. What would be the better way? If he hides in such a way that when the thief comes in, he could tackle him and capture him. Put him in handcuffs and give him over to the mishtara, give him over to the cops to put him in jail, right? Then we no longer have to fear this thief at all. The Yetzirah comes to us. And the Yetzirah is strong. So one thing we can do is just push it away. Push it to the side. But then it's going to come back time and time again. We have to capture the Yetzirah. Ezehu Gibor, which is stronger? L'tchof, to push away the Yetzirah? Or to capture the Yetzirah? Ezehu Gibor, which is stronger? HaKoyvish Yisro. To mamish capture the Yetzirah. What does that mean? What does it mean to capture the Yetzirah? It means don't just try. In psychology, there are two terms. One is to reject, to just push it away completely. When you have a bad midalole, a person has a bad character trait, I can reject it like it doesn't exist. But you can push it away like you don't exist, like it doesn't exist, and be in denial. It's always going to come back and come back to haunt you. There's another concept in psychology called to project. To project something means to take that character trait, which naturally might be bad, but to learn how to use it for good. And don't deny its existence, but project it in a positive way. The Gemara explains this in the following way. If a person naturally is someone that's very zealous, very zoriz, and very tenacious, so it could end up being lo aleinu a murderer, or a ganav, or a thief, or so that person has to go, and it's good for that person to go and become a moil. Go and become a shoychet. Be involved in that type of activity, but in a kosher, beautiful way. In a beautiful way, right? If you have dam, you have blood in your nature, go be involved in dam in a positive way so you don't end up in a negative way. So too when it comes to all the taifas that we have in life. Kovesh Yisro, if we see we're struggling in an area, don't we, okay, try to push it away. You'll push it away for a night or two, it's going to always come back. Understand what the mida is, what the character is. Understand what's going on. Try to capture it and utilize it for good. Utilize it for good. We see that we're somebody that has taste and likes to have beautiful, beautiful luxuries. I don't know, chvestish. So, go into basically creating beautiful Judaica for people. I don't know, it's just an example. We have to come up with this on our own and try to think of ways that we could use that, the midos that might be midos raos naturally, that we all have in ways, and use it for good and project it in a good way. And that's what Asher, that's, let's just end the last line. Kfi Asher Asher Kodesh Yisro. The more we captivate our v'taivosav, our desires, take those desires, those burning desires, and project them towards Torah mitzvos. Don't negate them, project them towards Torah mitzvos. V'nisrachik menarchikim, and stay away from bad influences and that which can pull you away from Hashem. Hamarchikim aso, me'atov, that distance you from what's good. V'nishtadel ledaveg bo, and work hard. Nishtadel is to work hard. That's what we started off speaking about. It takes toil. It takes effort. The pasuk says, Adam la'amal yulad. We were born to work hard. Because that way, when we're successful, it's so much more meaningful. And the Ramchal ends this paragraph, and we'll end here tonight. Kein yasigeu v'yismach bo. If you do all that in the proper way, you'll reach that tveikis, that clinging to Hashem, v'yismach bo, and there's going to be tremendous joy in it. You're going to be so happy, which, let's be real, as we said before, that's the goal of everything, to find Simchas Chaim. So Bez Hashem, we should all live up to all that we learned here tonight and live a life of Simcha and Bracha every single moment.